This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. That was Burma Road by Ronnie Butler. Everybody should know that song. But I got to ask you this. How many songs we have about the Burma Road riot? How many songs do we have about majority rule? How many songs do we have that like authentically capture the power of the labor movement and how it drove this country through majority rule to independence to today? We don't have plenty of songs about that, almost to the point where maybe we don't think it's important, or possibly we know how important it is, and we don't want to mess that up. Or maybe we're scared. Maybe we're scared. I was watching this conversation on Twitter yesterday, day before yesterday, young Bahamian man, and he was talking about Pinling, former prime minister. He's talking about sort of his impact and contribution on the country, and he asked the question whether, I think he was asking the question of whether Pinling made us a passive people. You know, that it's great praise for Pinling, but perhaps in some ways, we know nobody is infallible, but in some ways, that not everything that he did was great for the Bahamas. And I have to say this, this is the sort of thing where you probably wouldn't have known, like you couldn't have known way back then the impact that this decision or these decisions would have had on your people. So in the conversation, I threw out that a number of older Bahamians have shared with me that Pinling, being a great political strategist, made a very deliberate move to bolster or to ensure his political sustainability by creating an environment where Bahamians became sort of disconnected from culture as power. I think there was the banning of reggae music on the Bahamian airwaves. There was the discouraging of playing Caribbean music, which at the time was very, very revolutionary. I'm looking for people to talk to and to explore that with, because it kind of makes sense to me. We only make tourist rake and scrape music. Of course, men men sing about the ways that Bahamian women destroy their hearts and tear them down. Stolice, she ain't gonna make red blood run in my eye, right? But we don't have any songs about us and our revolutionary spirit, except for Phil Stubbs. And then you got Elon Moxie, oh my Andrus. But do we have it at a national level? Do we have any of these? How much of this spirit has remained? Are we all just about tourism and the Yankee dollar? Is Sponge of Money never done? The true anthem of the country? Well, as we approach the 50th independence celebration, I'm excited about the possibilities, the potential, what it is that we can produce for ourselves, for the future, and for the world to share who we are, where we've come from, and what we're destined to become with the world and with other Bahamians. I think this is very important. I think it's very, very important. Because if we don't enable, create a space, authorize, if we don't make it pellucidly clear to Bahamians that they have the right to tell their own story, if we don't take this role, this function, this obligation away from the state, because it should not be in their hands alone. Only politicians will tell the story of the Bahamas. And we see what happens when politicians are in charge of the history books. You will wake up one day, 100 years in the future, thinking that only 70 people died in Dorian, or that only three birds and one goat perished in Grand Bahama in Dorian. You would wake up believing that the minimum wage is a livable wage. You would believe all manner of foolishness if we continue to let the political class write the history. I wanted to come and ask you all this morning. We can talk about, it's sort of an open line. I want to talk about the labor unrest. I want to talk about the minimum wage. I want to talk about traffic. And I have a question somebody put to me in a very odd way this week. Is Christianity under attack? That's something I wanted to talk about, but there's so much in the news today. So before I get to the phone line, before we open up the phone line, I want to ask you this question. You ever been on the labor union to parliament railroad? You ever took a ride on that train? Well, you can, but you can only connect to it, the labor union to parliament railroad. You can only connect to it from the ordinary citizen to political class railroad. See what I'm saying? I'd love to talk to anybody who's been on the labor union to parliament railroad, or the ordinary citizen to political class railroad, and tell us how you did it. Tell us how you did it. Because that's a ride that I want to take. So you can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Or you could call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. Oh boy, there's just so much in the paper, particularly on this union issue. Yesterday, I was looking at the headlines. 90% of airport workers on New Providence didn't report to work. Deputy Prime Minister, another headline, Deputy Prime Minister, we will not take this lying down. Another headline, LPI braces for labor unrest. Another headline, funds set to resolve airport dispute. That one was in the Nassau Tribune. And then today's papers, the Nassau Tribune, strikers told to get back to work. In the Guardian, airport hit by illegal strike. I see we got a caller on the line. Producer, good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Anna Pleasant, good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay, ma'am.
Good, good.
You know, I listen to some things that be said over these talk shows very intently. But one of the things I also remember growing up, there was a gentleman named Dr. Enos that says, don't put it in a book because behemoths don't read.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of our history is not in a book. Most of our history is underneath the dilly tree, in the bar, on the front porch, in the backyard, passed down by word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
One time, our history was written on the inside walls of the pyramids by the Egyptians, called hieroglyphics.
Mm-hmm.
Then they changed that and started translating everything into books. And then they brainwashed us with a book that we call The King James Version. It's a version of the Holy Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Printed and retranslated in 1604, released in 1611 by 47 Oxford and Westminster scholars, until the king figured and found it to be the right way that he wanted it. And then they were told, okay, now spread it to the world. Spread it to the world now. Mm-hmm. That's the way I want it, my version. Yeah. And that's been brought down through different organizations, churches that split off from one another. From the Catholic became the Anglican, from the Anglican became the Methodist. And then this one came down to the Baptist and the Church of God and this and that, the next. We all worshiped one Savior called Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But we took it away from worshiping God. We don't write no more. Then we also went through a time in our life, and I went through it, when I graduated from high school, and the only thing I knew as far as Bahamian history was that Columbus discovered the Bahamas in 1492, but he met people here.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Then after that, our leaders came, and they told us all about what the white man did to us.
Sparky.
You don't want to hear the history? You say
well,
you
no, I don't have that much time to go through it
okay,
all.
Okay, you know where the Bahamas was?
No. Of course not.
Okay, the Balmain was through Frederick Street. When you come off of Bay Street,
yeah,
headed south on Frederick Street.
Yeah.
It was about the second or the third door on your left hand on the eastern side of the road.
Okay.
Where Ronnie Butler and King Eric and them used to play it there. There was also the Dirty Dicks, the Big Bamboo, the Black Bear Tavern. There was nightclubs from Montague Beach nearly all the way to Lifeford Key.
Mm-hmm.
All down West Bay Street, the Emerald Beach Hotel, the Nassau Beach Hotel, you name it, was all over there. All over Wolf Road, all down Blueville Road, all down East Street, was nothing but nightclubs.
Yeah.
Then there was, Mr. Freddie Bunnan Sr., and I know that Freddie is still listening. There was a time I remember we honored Freddie Munnens over Paradise Island before he passed away, where he said that the tourists used to come to the Bahamas for sunset and satellite entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
To the musicians and the entertainers.
Yeah.
The government of the day, when they took over, who used to use the Captain Fiddles to do all their campaigning and everything on the Zanzibar. And when they came to victory, they took everything from the entertainers, put it into the hotels, and the entertainers started to go extinct. Now you could hardly go out in the night, not only because of the dangers of gangs and guns and knives and everything, but you could hardly go out in the night to find a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
To take a wife or a girlfriend to sit down, dress decently, like we used to dress decently.
Boy, y'all used to get tape up, though. Ooh, y'all used to get sharp.
Oh, we used to be sharp. I mean, from our shoes to from our Tom McCann shoes, you could have spit on them and see them. You could have seen a face in them.
Yeah.
You had a tailor-made suit every other week.
Spotty.
When you get paid, you go down both sides and you get yourself some materials. You go to Gary to McCullough Corner.
Sparky, I gotta go. I gotta cut you. I gotta thank you. I gotta thank you. See, first of all, I didn't know if you was talking about my question, is Christianity under attack? If we was talking about the intro, if we's talking, boy, Sparky, man. Listen, when they say you spark, you ignite a lot of thoughts. Because here I am thinking, you know, that Gombe era. That Gombe era, there's plenty of politics talking, you know. There's a lot of politics talking. The question is, just like how you have to interpret the Bible, you have to understand it, understand the history and the culture, the context in which the words were written, like in that time. And then the expectation of the people writing it, of the future. All of that, right? It's just the same thing, Sparky. And here I am listening in my head to Love Alone by Blind Blake. And I'm constantly thinking, man, this is a political song. Why is Blind Blake declaring him so emphatically that it was love alone that caused him to leave the throne, when others and historians suggest that Miss Simpson was, how could put it delicately, trained in the style of geisha? Yeah? That perhaps she was an operative sent to turn him away from the crown, or to convince him, to cause him to have to step away from the throne. But we today would never know that because we don't have enough context, enough history. Y'all wouldn't share enough with us about that time for it to make sense. Now, why I think this is important, because I want to talk about the labor unions. And the first thing that always pops into my head is, why did the labor unions have so much power? Or why do they think they have so much power? Why do the labor unions and the government operate in this way, where they sort of understand the power that they have, but they'll never let us in on it, right? We will never understand that unless you get the stories. Like, if you understood that straw vendors interact and taxi drivers interact directly with the tourists. They always had U.S. money. Always had U.S. Always. Does that make you powerful, eh? Or it made you, gave you a degree of power back in the day. And let's talk about it. We're not talking about the straw market of today. We're talking about the straw market that put so awfuls through university. We're talking about a straw market that funded the quote-unquote intelligentsia in this town by providing a way for them to get to university. These things are important to know. How could Bahamian taxi drivers treat Bahamians in the way that they do? Like, in what country does an industry that provides public transportation ignore its citizenry? How powerful must you have been to feel like you could get away with that? Producer, let's go to the call. Good morning, call. You're on the clock.
Yes, sir. Good morning, ma'am.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. You know what? What I like to say is to let the tripod convention that our government signed on to.
Yeah.
Took away the power from the union. They, right now, they kind of, like, they call it the illegal. I don't know if it's criminal or not, but they call it illegal for them to strike. They're striking power, right? But what I like is the taxi drivers, the cabs. You know, the taxi cab is not union. I mean, it's not, what you call it, unified, and that's the problem, you see? And it doesn't need to be public, but it could be private, but it needs to be unified. That's, you know what I'm saying? And then we got this bus thing that needs to be public. It can't be private. It shouldn't be private.
No, it can't be because it's an essential service.
Right, it's essential, and that's the problem. That's the issue I have. You know, and then you talk about the folks at the airport striking. Man, they workers, but they middle-class workers. They're not, you know, and like people ain't as mindful of the workers, this essential workers, poor workers that use the buses every day. And they letting a few businessmen, you know, in this limited licensing practice that our government continue to call free market.
Mm-hmm.
You know what is it? You know, you know what I feel you need to do when you get this 1 hour. Don't let these people take your 1 hour when you need to use your 1 hour to deal with your platform.
Listen,
democracy.
We gotta open up. Hold on, we gotta open up all the conversations because.
No, but you do that. But you understand?
Yeah,
you know that you got 1 hour. You just have to go into all type of all type of capitalist promotion, capitalist business, and all that type. But come on, man.
Listen, it's a struggle on the plantation. But listen, the airport workers must be essential workers because look at this story in the Tribune titled "Hotels Dismayed at Damage to Industry," right? And it reads, Bahamian Tourism yesterday called for a, quote, speedy resolution, close quotes, to the strike action impacting the country's major airports. As it warned of potential long-lasting, quote.
But these people are workers. So when, tell me something now. When must the teachers strike? June, or summer vacation?
Yeah, that's when they should strike. The pilots, the airport people should only strike when the airport, strike when there's a hurricane.
They'll strike at 12 o'clock, after 12 o'clock.
when the runway is closed. But it's more than that. I'm very concerned. I got another call on the line. I'm sorry. But I'm very concerned about the tone with which the various elements or people or quote-unquote stakeholders have approached this matter. First of all, I'm almost certain that in one of these stories that we read, that the DPM also refers to workers calling in sick. Kimsley Ferguson says it wasn't a strike, it's a sick out. The DPM is documented referring to workers calling in sick. When did it become a strike? And then we read that it's deemed illegal because the original agreement or timeline for the signing of the original agreement had transpired or expired, right? But if you all had an agreement in principle, why wouldn't you follow through with it? Aren't governments continuous? Aren't you continuous? Why are you suggesting to me that you cannot follow through on something that a previous administration signed off on? If the Deputy Prime Minister is quoted as saying, the government will honor the commitments of the agreement. We find it concerning that this agreement has been in place since 2018, and we have already committed the funding for the payments due under the agreement. So why haven't the people been paid? And how you could come here with all this hard talk about fines and prison time? What you going to do to the people who haven't ensured that the payment plan was initiated? You going to put them in jail? You going to lock them up? I can't imagine that this administration or the last, Mr. Pintard, Honorable Pintard, that this administration or the last would dare to, A, take this tone with Bahamian workers and be in opposition, suggest that this is something that they weren't responsible for, that somehow they are separate and apart from what's happening right now. The audacity. Why? Because this is all happening against the backdrop of the PLP signing a memorandum of understanding while in opposition with one trade Congress. And then we discover that not all of the members of that Congress were in agreement with the signing of the MOU. And then we find out that one of the unions or whose members are being threatened with legal action was a part of the group that did not, that disagreed with the signing of the MOU. It's like we need to send somebody to the House of Parliament to find out if there's something wrong with the air conditioning system in there. Because it's like you get in there and you take a breath of air and then you forget who you are. And I want to say, I think it's to Cooper, but perhaps it also needs to be said to Bell as well. The PLP didn't have a problem, quote unquote, negotiating with unions in the media while they were in opposition. You didn't have a problem taking the risk of destabilizing the entire labor movement by discussing these things while you were in opposition. Let's take a pause. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, good morning.
Okay, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and enjoying your conversation as usual.
Thank you.
Listen, my thing is this government has boasted time and time again that they are the union-friendly government. I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can find funds, as much funds as you can to travel and to tow these large entourage, you can find funds to make these huge private secret settlements. How is it that you can't find funds to pay the persons that you know the payment is there on the book signed to be paid? I don't get that.
Yeah.
If the funds are there, then give the people their money. Like Mr. Kimsey said, they're trying to give these people $6,000. You owe me $40,000. What is $6,000 to the $40,000 you owe me? You know? And the thing is, people are saying today that they need to make the government, the bus system public.
Yeah.
My God, the problems we already have with the public sector, with the lazy workers and the people who don't come to work and the people who won't come to work and work on go slow on a daily basis, and the complaints we have from PMH, the National Insurance, the all these government-run entities, nah. I think we need to get one general head and make that company in charge of the busing system. Keep it private, but make it like one company and pay the bus drivers a salary.
And benefits and health insurance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because I used to catch a bus when I go to the state. And yeah. I can tell you, pay $3.50 and I ride all buses all day long. I get one ticket in my hand at the first bus I drop the money in. And all I do is present that to mm-hmm. the next bus, from the next bus to the next bus. One bus.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much for your contribution. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, good morning, my sister. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am blessed, man. And good morning. And I didn't say good morning to everyone. Miss Green, you know something? Some of us Bahamians need to stop being one-sided, you know.
Uh-huh.
I called Dwight's show this morning, and I want to say something to every person who is under a union umbrella. I with you. When it comes to fighting for your rights, I with you. I don't give a 5 cent if the government that I support. But Ms. Green, it's a right way, and it's a wrong way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's be realistic. And not because I support this government, and they, you know, findings and other things, the unions and different things, the courts find out that what they're doing is illegal. So what I supposed to do, Ms. Green, support the union if they're doing something illegal?
Now, there's a question. Now, do it. That's a good point. The question is it illegal?
The courts, ma'am, listen, the courts, as I understand
the courts ruled. Yeah, it went before the courts. But this is the question. Hold on.
As long as it's before the courts.
No, this is the question I have to ask you for you. Ask you, though, do it.
Yes,
you see how quickly they got before the courts? You
very
see,
much so.
Listen,
but that's the government.
Did they order the flash?
That's the government. The government has the first say, the middle say, and the last say, Ms. Green. And I keep telling people that.
No, they don't. I mean, of course they do if you on a plantation or if you in a dictatorship or if you in this place you call the Bahamas where the political class is continue doing whatever you want to do until you get stopped. That's it.
Yeah, but Ms. Green, in all honesty, right? I mean, I understand people, whatever it is. But Ms. Green, just as I understand, these contracts were supposed to be honored from 2018. Yes, I'm not making excuse for the now Progressive Liberal Party government.
Mm-hmm.
But in all honesty, right? If you can tell me, and I will fill your car up with gas, Aaron,
mm-hmm.
for a whole week. If you can tell me three. Or anybody can call your talk show this morning, and you can give them my number. As a man to my word, I will fill your car with gas.
Mm-hmm.
If you can tell me three contracts that the Free National Movement honored, whether it's out of court settlements, whether it's unions, whether it's through the courts, tell me three contracts that the Free National Movement honored while you had Mr. Carl Bellow as the AG. Tell me. And if you could find someone before your show over, give them my number, inbox me, and tell me what gas station to meet you to so I can pull your car up with gas.
Do it. I don't measure the performance of the PLP against the performance of the FNM, you know. Because that don't make any sense because the two of them playing us.
I was trying to tell someone this morning. They asked me if this was the FNM. If this was the FNM, and that's the Minister of Labor, and they are right. You're right, Ms. Green. See? What we have to understand in life, we need to put the politics aside when it comes to certain things. Right is right, wrong is wrong.
But I have a feeling that the politics was not put aside before they called the courts. I'm not casting any aspersions on the courts at all. The court job is to answer when it's called.
But
then pick up the phone dead quick to call the courts. And I think that this is an inappropriate action. I think it's a bad look at a partisan level and at the state level. I think it's a horrible look to govern or to rule, but not the way that you rule yourself or govern yourself. How are you going to judge the people below you at a higher standard than you judge your own government or allow yourself to be judged? Boy, caller, I'm sorry. The music playing. I gotta follow my producer's lead. We gotta go to a break. We're coming right back. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM. You're on the clock.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Here we go. J.S.
Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has stood the test, always
Good morning and welcome back. You're on the clock with Aaron Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. How
are
you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I heard you alluded to something where the taxi drivers don't like to take behemoths to their destination, wherever they may want to go. Now, I'm going to tell you that I experienced that on a personal level. And my experience was, one time ago, I was at the airport, and the airport was shutting down. And my car could not come at that time. Mm-hmm. And I asked the taxi driver at that time, I said, listen, can you give me a ride down to Carmichael Road? And the fact he was going in that area. So I said, okay, I live in that area. Could you give me a ride to that area? I will pay you. And you know what he did? He told me no. And he pulled off and left me right there. And I was a behemoth and he was a behemoth. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, I don't feel sorry for no taxi drivers. And when they have their dispute, I don't even care nothing about their dispute, because the way they treat behemoths when it comes to giving a behemoth a ride to a destination, and I don't know, maybe it would be a crime situation or what, but he could clearly see that I was the airport dressed in a suit with my briefcase and everything, but he refused to give me,
now,
as a behemoth,
first
a ride
first,
to my destination.
Now, listen.
So I don't feel sorry for none of them, and for the jitney drivers, some of them are the voice of the voice. And I heard where on another talk show where this gentleman was saying, you know, we have to pay them a fee, and if they don't own the plate, they cannot be driving the bus. And that's another thing we got to get rid of, leasing a plate. If you are not driving that taxi or that jitney, and that's not your plate,
mm-hmm.
you should not even be driving that.
Absolutely.
You know, and we got to stop, get to that foolishness, and get rid of that system, and get these jitney drivers. And I heard what the jitneys have to go through, you know, and I felt sorry for them at that point,
mm-hmm.
where they have to pay for their bus fee. They have not made to maintain their bus. They have to pay for the insurance. They have to license the bus. And then they have to lease the plate.
Yeah, and it's the leasing of the plate that's the major issue.
It's a big issue. You're quite right. It's a big issue. We now, like the lady said, we have to get beyond this point where we can have a reliable transportation system, where you say if you have to be to work for 9 o'clock downtown, you could step onto a bus, and you can be guaranteed you could be downtown
yep.
for 9 o'clock to catch to be on your job or wherever you have to be or wherever your destination. But the taxi drivers in this country, you know, I cry shame on them. Because some of them, I see how they treat tourists.
Mm-hmm.
Disgust me. You know, some of them should not even be taxi drivers. Some of them should really be vetted by the police. Or find some kind of agency to see what, or etiquette situation, to see how they
yeah.
respond to crisis and to situations. You know,
absolutely.
That's all I have to say on that.
Thank you. Thank you, caller. And you'll note that even the caller said some taxi drivers, right? We're not going to paint all taxi drivers with the same brush, but we're going to say this. If you're a taxi driver, then you must understand the need for taxi drivers to police their own industry. You got to figure out who the rogue elements are in your space and root them out. Don't look at behemoths who cannot catch a taxi and tell them, oh, you're running on, or oh, you're being unfair. We know that it's not every taxi driver, but we know also that it's virtually every experience we have with a taxi driver that's a problem, right? Same thing with the busing industry. Busing is an essential service. If people are driving the bus and taking little children up and down, they need to be vetted. They need to be vetted. There's too many stories of little girls being molested by bus drivers, kidnapped by bus drivers, convinced that they're big women by bus drivers, for us to have not already vetted. made it a proper state industry, and we're going to get to the question of whether making it a state industry makes sense, but there's some reasons why it makes sense. I see the callers. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Grant.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. I have a concern about the sickle at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
According to the DPM, there was supposed to have been some type of inspection, international inspection, yesterday. And I don't hear nobody on the news media talking about the inspection.
Well, I can tell you, I didn't even see that. I didn't see that in any of the stories.
Yeah, did we pass the inspection? Was it postponed? Are we at risk of being decertified? I'd like to know what's going on with the inspection, because the second was called. I kind of gathered on that particular day because of the inspection for Greater Impact, but my concern is what really went down with the inspection.
I got you. Wow. Thank you very much. Hopefully we can get a word from the Minister of Transport to speak to that. Thank you very much, caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Under Ms. Grant, I sanction what your second to the last caller was saying about taxi drivers. But, you know, I blame the Road Traffic Department. They don't have the people out there to police these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way they carry themselves, the way they dress, the way they act around these tourists, they is just totally disgraceful. You know, and mm-hmm. I blame it on the Road Traffic Department. They need to put enough agents out here to police these people. These people, these taxi drivers carry on like savages out here. Savages. They are all about that money, but not that service. And they also overcharge these guests everywhere they go. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Like I say, it's not every taxi driver. We know that. We know it's not every taxi driver, but listen, we are in a state of crisis. We need big grown, we know there's an age limit, right, on joining the police force. We at the point where we need ordinary citizens to volunteer to go join the police force. We need policing in so many spaces. In so many spaces. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Graham.
Good morning. How are you?
I won't comment on this, just me.
Yeah, yeah.
Personally, like I said, the government need to take over the bus system, or either that or one company.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could turn it into a corporation.
Well, it could be in the private hands, but it needs a proper regulatory mechanism to govern it. And
now, this is what I can say. When you put it in private hands, don't forget now, the bus system almost is like was like how the taxi was.
Uh-huh.
I own 4 plates, you own 5
yeah.
plates.
Yeah.
I go for Oxfield. Nobody coming out late way. Nobody coming, you know.
Yeah.
Place. Everybody going to make the profit. See, a lot of this country to move in the first world, we need either the government to run it or you form one company. Long as they have it the way how they have it and unify and all the big talk, ain't nothing gonna happen until they do that. And not only that, we have a good bus system, y'all. You can leave your car home if you gotta go downtown
and go and get drunk. If you have to go out and get skanking drunk, you can leave your car home.
Yeah.
And you know, apparently we are obligated to do that once a month. It must be in the law books.
Too much politics destroying this little Bahamas. I must tell you.
Yes, sir.
As long as you got 4 plates, I got 3. Oh, no, man, I can't do nothing about that. Look how some of them bus drivers look and carry themselves. Come on, man. It ain't look right. Unless the government take it over and find a formula and it be in one hand. As long as you see what the taxi, and I was always saying that about the taxi. The taxi, they need to get that in order. At least they make a start. I think they can have some good rules. The bus system have to do the same thing under one owner.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Nathan. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Earlier you spoke about the bus drivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would hate to know that there's not enough bread that goes into their mouths and their kids' mouth.
Yeah.
Well, you can imagine right now, you got bus drivers that curse your conversation on while you're sitting there in that bus. And when you tell them about it, they stop the bus so you can get off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That happened to me on a 21.
Yeah.
Okay? And then here it is. He wants the fare to be increased to $2 for that bad customer service.
Yeah.
Okay? And for God's sake, no active air conditioning if they won't turn it on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But the customer service have got to change. It's got to improve if they should get this $2.
Absolutely. You know? And some of the services around public transportation have to improve as well. Like you said,
yes, man.
I've seen instances where people have gotten on buses where there was pornography playing on the bus.
Uh-huh.
At school time, not at 10 a.m.
Yes.
in the morning when you think all the children at school.
Okay, and the thing about it, the bus driver shows no remorse, no shame, no nothing.
Absolutely.
You know, like that's his bus, that's his standard.
That's his world, his castle.
Yeah. And you're giving it to us to what? We need to get the way we're going. We don't
Thank
need
you.
To see your pornography.
Thank you, absolutely.
You know, and
I got to go. I'm so sorry, Carl. I got to go. My producer's playing the music. And just before I go to the break, I have to say this, that also the bus drivers and taxi drivers, some of their fares are not unfounded. They are unsafe in many areas or on the road generally. And a wise criminal enterprise, it don't matter what area they go into, they're a target. We need better police protection and services for buses. You know how many bus drivers get terrorized by passengers? Same time, right? And so there's a balance that needs to be made, and we have to find a solution. Not just for the pedestrian and the riders' issues, but also for the driver, the service provider's issues. We got to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to get through these texts. Call if you could hold on. I'm going to get to you as soon as we get back. You're on the clock with Aaron Green.
Went to the river to shoot some crow. Crow smell fire, and they all fly away low. Old frog get vexed, and he cry all day. Do a nanny, do a nanny, do a nanny, how you do?
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Hello? Can you show you something else, boy?
Who this is? Tamika?
You ain't even remember my name?
Wow, Dred. Girl, I've been so busy. You still planning your trip?
Girl, and I can't wait. I right here online booking my car.
You dare planning trip. You vaccinated?
Girl, we had to. We ain't been nowhere since this pandemic started. Girl, and we got a 14-day vacation.
Best vacation ever.
Girl, are you though?
Well, I know you's gonna get the vaccine, because you too like travel. When y'all get your vaccine?
Girl, long time. Because you gotta get your first dose, wait, then get your second dose at least 2 weeks before you travel. Johnny get his vaccine and he 12. Even Grammy get hers. Child, and Grammy say she ain't get no money. But I see her hiding that under the mattress.
Child, let me send my list, because I know you going shopping.
Keisha, don't play with me.
Vaccinate today, live tomorrow. A message by PAHO, WHO, Canada, and USAID.
Good morning. Welcome back. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We're on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, and we are almost out of time. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Mrs. Green.
Good morning. How are you?
Everything's fine. Ms. Green, I would like to talk about the hospital, all right?
Okay.
Have you had a chance to visit the private ward of the hospital
at any time? Only once a few years ago.
Ms. Green, did you know that the private ward of the hospital is not run by the Bahamas government, but a group of doctors?
Right, is that the consulting physicians?
And why? Why is it that the most profitable part of the hospital is run by a group of doctors?
Tell me.
And the thing about it, why is it so run down and filthy? And they're very dirty. I have my mother-in-law, she's in the private ward, and I went there and my eyes dropped open. The ceiling is dropping off and looks filthy and dirty. The tiles falling off the wall. The zinc is dirty. They're all broke down. Side table there with an old, dated-looking lamp, and there's very, very filthy. The floor, I mean, like, when you compare that to doctors, I mean, it's like night and day, but you have a group of doctors who's supposed to be running that, and it's very, very filthy, and you're paying over $300 plus with tax a night to stay in that place.
Wow.
So why is the government allowing a group of doctors to run that place, and they run it into the ground, and it looks stinking filthy?
Okay, now...
And I would like to know, why is it that the government allowing them to run that
right, so let's ask. Let's ask this question.
And that's
why
the most profitable part of the hospital.
I got you. Let's ask these questions. Why is it being managed in this way? And B, why is it in the state that
exactly.
it's in, given the nature of its management style? But listen,
right.
I am almost all out of time. I got to go, but thank you very, very much for that text. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good day. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, I know very quickly, mm-hmm. you were speaking about the bus drivers. I remember maybe a year or two ago, they were on the radio talking about the union.
Uh-huh.
And I always, I don't know if you ever take the buses like in Florida or in Georgia or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I lived in London, in England for a number of years, and the only thing I did was bus and subway.
Okay, but now they have like a card, like a little, you know, like a swipe card.
Yeah.
That you buy from it's like an ATM machine, you buy mm-hmm. a card, and you could top it up, put whatever you want put on it, and then it. What that does is it regulates the driver and as well as the customers mm-hmm. where you don't got to carry this money in your pocket, risk getting robbed or whatever.
Absolutely.
And now I always been saying advocating for them to push all the jitneys, all the taxis back off of Bay Street to that same parking lot where the City Meat Market was going down the government.
Okay.
Put them back there and have shuttles running downtown to bring customers there. There was a big parking lot right there
yeah.
where you could park and be safe. You understand?
Right.
And that's how it is in Georgia.
And it has to be safe because it's right next to Government House.
Right. Yeah. But you still have a little, you know, like Department of like Road
yeah.
Traffic Police,
yeah.
whatever they are. And you send them out in intervals. Once you get in, the same thing with the taxi. I can't go downtown and spend money because all the taxis got all the places blocked up.
That's up, man. You can't park your car nowhere.
No, and even so, even if they can park there, put meters there where you can make them pay.
And they have to move. Yeah. Collect some revenue.
Listen, you have a good day. Once again, good show, ma.
Thank you. And thank you for those wonderful suggestions. Absolutely. So listen, I got a bunch of texts here and my own personal commentary. Text says, I'm sure the TSA knows what a strike action is. I'd find it very hard to believe they'd decertify an airport based on a strike. More than likely, a decertification would be a sad coincidence as it would uncover operational noncompliance that no one addressed, strike or no strike, quote, before the inspection. No, I think the caller was saying that an inspection was scheduled for that day. And maybe that's why the sick out, as Mr. Ferguson calls it, was called on that day. Mr. Cooper called it a sick out at one point also. I'm trying to figure out how did we get from sick out to illegal strike action. And if it's illegal because the timeline had expired, then why don't y'all take the moral high ground that you constantly claim and honor it as if it had never expired and follow through? And where is the people's money? Hi, Miss G. Who's being paid to maintain streetlights? At least 70% of lights are off on Prince Charles from East Street by Super Value straight to Robinson Road Mall Light. Can't see people on the road in the mornings. Oh boy, dear BPL. Another text, but I don't want to be on a bus with a drunk person either, Aaron. I agree with you, Texter. Text says, Aaron, I thought you said that when girls run away, they are displaying their autonomy. So how come when they are on buses being romanced by bus drivers, they're not explained that? I think you explained it yourself, Texter. They're not on buses being romanced by bus drivers. Trust me. That's not what's happening. Texter goes on to say, but Aaron, you are right. I know countless cases of young girls being molested in uniform. It's disgusting. Now the text, there's nothing working in this country. We work for a resort that the government allowed them to not pay us for holiday if you don't have any PTO. When did holiday pay become PTO? Holiday pay is not PTO. It's paid as long as you're employed. Too much foolishness is going on. Holiday pay is holiday pay. Oh, producer, I hear you. Great show as usual. Bus drivers need to first of all learn to drive. And second, stop messing with little girls. Minimum wage in Nassau is super ridiculous. People only get paid enough to be a step above broke. You work from Monday to Friday and get paid just enough to be broke. Remember, a minimum wage is supposed to be a living wage inherently. And a living wage is what you need to meet your basic needs in the society you live in. I'm all out of time. Thank you, producer, for not cutting me. Thank you, callers and texters. We're going to see you tomorrow. We'll be back on the clock.
Looks like I got guinea corn harmony. Yes, indeed. Stew shot and Johnny cake. Guinea corn harmony and lard. You must get some of that.